let's just see if you're in frame too.
Oh. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, I guess we can. Okay. So, welcome to Backstory Real Asians Podcast. I'm Aaron Collier.
And I'm Kelly Lai.
You know what? Maybe we should close the door.
Okay.
Take two. Hello and welcome to Real Asian Backstory Podcast, podcast from Toronto Real Asian International Film Festival. I'm Aaron Collier.
And I'm Kelly Lai.
Well, this is weird.
Yeah.
This is weird being in the same place. This is the first time we are doing video. This is the first time we are recording in the same place. We're trying some things out today, but we are... You know, we had a little bit of a hiatus from podcasting, but we're back and we have a whole slate of things that will be coming to you in the summer and the fall from Real Asian. So, how are you doing? It's summertime. Are you ready for a new season of Backstory?
Yeah, I'm particularly excited for today because I think... Aram has something special lined up for both.
Yes. We definitely have something lined up, and this is the content you've all been waiting for, or the content that you didn't know you were waiting for. Did you know, Kelly, that one of my favorite snack foods, meals, very nostalgic, is turning 60 years old this year? The Filet-O-Fish.
Wow. Tell me more, Aaron.
Okay, well, so apparently it was invented for McDonald's for Catholics primarily to consume on Fridays, but on days they don't eat meat, and it was a hit, and it's been a hit ever since. But it's kind of like a weird item on the menu. It's the only fish item on the menu at McDonald's, I think. But I feel like this is a very Asian diaspora sandwich. I don't know how you feel about it, but Jane Hu is a writer from Montreal, writer, critic, wrote this great piece about her love for the Filet-O-Fish a couple of years ago, and how much it was like the perfect sandwich, and really a marker of, you know, her immigrant Chinese Canadian family's like, kind of like weaving into North American culture. And I certainly have lots of memories, which I'll discuss. But do you have any memories of the Filet-O-Fish, Kelly?
Well, I was going to say, like, it reminds me of my dad, because we would go to McDonald's every Saturday morning, and he would always get a Filet-O-Fish. And, well, I guess not morning then, because you can't really order.
Well, after 10:30.
Maybe it was still the morning. And my mom would always get the Big Mac. And I think when I was young, I was like weird. I just like a health nut. And I was like, why are we at McDonald's? I don't want to eat anything here. But what I did pick up was not the Filet-O-Fish. I picked up my mom's way of eating a Big Mac.
Which is what?
Where you eat each layer by itself. And
from the top down?
Yeah, top down. So
bread, salad, meat.
Yeah, basically.
Bread, salad, meat.
Exactly.
Okay, but just to rewind it back, you said you never had Filet-O-Fish before. You didn't eat junk food. I mean, this is not to be essentializing here, but like, what? You never had Filet-O-Fish before?
Yeah, I've never had it. I think I was always like fearful of the tartar sauce or whatever that cream is.
Okay.
Mayo has grown on me as I've aged. So
okay.
I was like worrisome.
Okay, yeah. you have egg worries. Okay, I mean, Filet-O-Fish, like you said, you know, your dad used to get it all the time. I think a lot of our families have frequently gotten it. That was what I always got nonstop, and like definitely choice number one. Anytime I would go to McDonald's, I would always, for some reason, go to the McDonald's on Haight Street and Stanyan in San Francisco, possibly one of the dirtiest McDonald's in San Francisco. But And then Christian, our operations, senior operations manager, he always had a story that his family said, you have to order the filet of fish because they have to make that fresh. Like those aren't just sitting around in a warmer. They will make that fresh. So it's always the best thing to order. So, you know, I think a lot of us have filet of fish memories. And I think the listeners and the viewers might be a little bit like, well, what does this have to do with Real Asian? What does this have to do with Asian media? And you would be right to ask that question. But my very tenuous tie to Real Asian is that, I don't know if you knew, but back in the day when I started at Real Asian, like the late aughts, like 06, 07, we were trying to also do music programming, live music programming, which turned out to be a lot harder than we realized. So 2006, we had a really nice show, actually. We had like a small cozy venue. We had some solo artists, including like Go Nakamura, who has subsequently come back to Real Asian. That time he performed live at Real Asian, and it was really, really nice. And then the next year, myself, Arthur Young, Nelson Tam, we were like, hey, let's make it bigger. Back in the day where, you know, bigger was always meant better. And we worked with this concert promoter to like try to book acts. And, you know, part of it was the difficulty was like, A, like finding Asian acts, right? Like if you're thinking about the aughts, right? Like how many Asian bands were there in Canada? Not that many. And then we're stupid. We didn't know what we were doing. We were like, hey, could you book a Blonde Redhead? He was like, and he would be like, you know, that's like $30,000. Yeah. We're like, oh, maybe not. But so we ended up getting this terrible venue, which I don't even know if it exists, but it was like way too big. We, you know, booked some local acts, and it was not well attended. It's even hard to talk about now. It's one of those events that you plan where, you know, you plan it and you're seeing how it's playing out and you just wish, you just can't wait until it's over. Credit to the bands. They all like performed really well and that sucks. It's on us. But at the end of the night, and for some reason that year, I borrowed my in-law's van. So I had to drive the van that had all the gear in it and stuff, all the festival stuff. And, you know, it's 2 a.m. and it's me, Grace, Patricia, and Arthur. And we're just like, oh my God, that was the worst event ever. Does anybody want to go to McDonald's? And so it's like 2:30 a.m. We go to the drive-through. Without asking, everybody orders a filet of fish. And we get out of the drive-thru lane, we sit in the parking lot, we're sitting in the back of this van on top of all this like gear and stanchions and stuff, eating the best filet of fish I've ever had in my whole life. Like it was crispy, it was cooked fresh, it was piping hot.
Is it usually not those things?
No, it's all of those things. But, we had just come from the drive-thru. Chris's parents' advice came through because it was really fresh. And it made the evening all worth it. So what we're going to do today is that since Kelly has never eaten a filet of fish and it's the 60th birthday of the filet of fish, we are going to record Kelly eating her first filet of fish. This is a moment in history.
Yeah, Aaron will be eating along with me. Yes, won't just be me. But yes, I'm excited for all the things that I've heard about this magical sandwich. Sandwich?
Yeah, it's a sandwich.
From its very smooth bun, glossy bun.
Steamed. It's a steamed bun.
Steamed bun.
I think. Something like that.
And to its crispiness. I think that's all I have to say.
Are you actually excited? Or are you just saying that?
No, you know what? I don't know why. Like, I just kept putting it off. So I think today's the day. And I think I'm just, like, mentally preparing. So I'm being very cool about it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay. So we're gonna take a break and go get the sandwich. And then since it's after 10:30, and then we'll be back and we're gonna eat. Okay, we're back. We're back. We just ran to get a filet of fish. And now is the big moment that we've all been waiting for. This is not a promotion of McDonald's. This is just about nostalgia and let's do this. Wait. All right, here we go. Okay, so number one, since you've never had one before, this used to come in like a white and blue paper, which was like far superior to this. But we did get French fries for you.
Thank
as well.
You.
So you can do that. Oh, it doesn't look like there's any ketchup in here. So you're gonna have to roll with the tartar sauce.
Oh no.
So, but you know,
you did
mention some of your fears about tartar sauce.
Yeah.
So now you'll be confronting that as well.
I will say this is pretty cute.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's a nice aesthetic. What I like to do, even though, like I just said, that I preferred the paper, but what's nice is you open it.
Wow!
Okay.
Wow.
That's real time reaction there.
Oh.
So I do like to put the fries in the other half, but yes, it's the bun is shiny and smooth. You want it? Would you like to open yours?
It's really shiny.
Whoa! Even better. That is like a baby's bottom.
Wow, and I didn't realize the actual like filet-o-fish part was like a square?
Yeah, it's a square, and actually open it up. Or actually, if you look on the bottom, here, I'll just show you mine.
Yeah, please. I want to keep mine intact.
So it's a little funny. You know what? It's so stuck, but actually on the bottom of the filet-o-fish, or the filet, is a half slice of cheese.
Oh.
Half of a slice.
Oh, it's not even a full
I don't.
Slice.
There was some rationale. We will link Jane Hu's article. She described why it's on there, I believe. Why there's a half slice or why there's cheese at all, which to me is a little bit weird. But and then of course, yeah, like
oh, God,
if you're afraid of tartar sauce, there's a lot of it. But all the more better to dip some of your fries into. So. So yeah, I'm gonna push the mic a little bit towards Kelly, and let's make sure you're on camera there, and we're gonna get some ASMR here as well. So
okay.
I will be quiet now, and let's do this.
I was gonna say, you know, this actually lives up to like the McDonald's advertising. Actually,
oh, you think it looks pretty good? Huh?
It like, looks pretty
like,
good.
Yeah.
Like, look how full that actually looks. Like,
well,
really
when you're as highly industrialized as this, like you know, consistency, you know, does come through sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So.
All right. I'm pushing the mic forward.
Okay. So that means I have to eat.
Yeah,
it.
You gotta eat
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay.
I would rotate it. Make sure you get some of the sauce. Rotate.
Okay, rotate.
There we go.
Right.
That's a good corner.
Like this corner?
That's a good corner that has a little bit of everything.
Okay. Okay. 30 plus years now. All right, let's go.
Okay, so that you're not alone, I'm going to have a bite too, while you formulate some opinions.
Well, I will say that it was flakier than I thought it would be. Can you see? Can you actually see that?
Yeah, it's like a
fish.
It's real fish. It's like Alaskan pollock or something like that, I think it says on the box. Again, not stumping for a filet of fish, but just purely nostalgia-based, but.
Yeah, I was hoping for more of a crisp crunch, but you know what? It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
No. I feel you on the crispiness. So that's one of the things. Like we had to go walk to the McDonald's to get it. Me personally, like filet fish, any hamburger, I have to eat it right away because of the... So I think it's more due to it sitting in a box for 10 minutes, right? So,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But if you went through the drive-thru and like ate it right away, it would probably be more crispy.
Yeah. I think I'm just like shocked at how cute the sandwich is.
It's super cute.
It's very cute. I was just like, this is like,
it's hold it. Super cute.
Yeah.
But also the downside of it being super cute is it's not that filling. you're probably gonna have to eat in about 90 minutes. You'll still be hungry.
So yeah. Aram, I wanna know more about your Filet-O-Fish journey. Like, do you remember your first Filet-O-Fish experience?
I do not remember my first Filet-O-Fish because I must have had it so early that I can't remember the first time. I don't know what that says about my upbringing, but you know, that's sometimes McDonald's is the only place that's open. So, I'm curious. Like, this was also like some of the things that we may be trying out later this year on the podcast is well, we'll see. That's a little teaser. That's not even a teaser. But this idea of eating on camera, mukbang and stuff like that, like you seem to not be, like when we started talking about this type of video, like eating on camera, I was like, oh my God, that sounds horrible. But I know it's a thing. Like what's your experience with mukbang?
Yeah, I never thought I'd get into it, but I was telling Aram that when I'm really stressed, I really, like, that's what I crave. I just, like, love watching people eat. And specifically, if you already know my carb of preference, you know, even in the world of mukbang, like, I'm very specific with what food I want to okay. see them eat.
Which would be what?
Which would be noodles. And I think even within the category of noodles, often it's like, I want to see them eating instant noodles, like with soup, like a soupy instant noodles. Okay. So, yeah, there's something so satisfying just like seeing people slurp. And like when you see them eat noodles so well, you're like, whoa, that's really good.
Like well in terms of like satisfying or like
yeah,
they're really good at slurping.
They're really good at slurping.
Professional.
They're like professional at it. Like I don't know how. And just like, yeah, just like their curation of like their bite and like how I don't know
curation of a bite. Well, hey, we did it too.
We did it too. What I will say about going back to the Filet-O-Fish though is that for those who have concerns about while you're eating a sandwich or whatever you're eating that it'll get messy or things will fall out, this actually is pretty self-contained. Like I did drop a little bit of the tartar sauce.
Yeah.
But that was like me being I'm being preoccupied. Not usually.
They probably didn't give you as much sauce as like sometimes it's like a like oh. the tray is like full of tartar sauce.
Oh no! Yeah. And there's pickles in it.
Yeah, like tartar sauce, like you know they'll chop it up and put some pickles in there. Yeah.
Well, not very familiar with tartar sauce for a reason, but. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you even pronounce it tartar. it's like people who say Toronto. I'm going to say all of the syllables.
How do you pronounce it properly?
Well, I don't know if it's proper, but it's like tartar sauce. So you know, it's all good. It's all good. Actually, when we were going to get the sandwich. Kelly was asking, is it a regional mm-hmm. thing? And I mean, as far as I know, I've only had it in the States and in Canada. Actually, no, you know what? I had it in France, but instead it has lettuce and tomato on it, which is, it's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good. And I've tried the fish sandwiches from all the major fast food chains just to see what they're like. I would say Popeyes might be pretty good. Mm. But I will say that for a while when I would go to the States, visiting family or whatever, I would often see for a while McDonald's had a double fillet of fish. So it meant like a double patty of a double fillet. And you would think more of a good thing is good, but it was disgusting. It was really bad. It just was overwhelming, didn't taste good. So, I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes me appreciate this so much is that it's like, it's well balanced. It made me appreciate the single filet. So, wow.
Yeah, it's not a, I mean, like the, not even a full slice of cheese, half.
It's all been perfectly engineered.
Yeah. If you haven't tried it out yet, it's worth it, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah. And again, we are not sponsored by McDonald's.
No. We paid full price. Because this the coupon book, like, it expired. We should have recorded this earlier, but
yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's all for now. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have more episodes coming out this summer and this fall. And this was really cool, and thanks for agreeing to have us record you trying this for the first time. So
this was an experience. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, well, thanks. This is a Real Asian Backstory podcast from the Toronto Real Asian International Film Festival. I'm Aaron Collier.
And I'm Kelly Lui.
And for more information for Real Asian, go to realasian.com.